Since we first aired the De La Rosa family story, the issue of families separated by immigration policy has become even more widespread. The Trump administration's promise to ramp up enforcement, along with headlines about ICE raids, have added pressure on areas with big immigrant populations.
U.S. immigration officials are reportedly stepping up efforts to round up people who are in the country illegally. In a series of raids this week, authorities arrested dozens and dozens of undocumented.
At the same time, cities have pushed back by declaring themselves sanctuary cities, meaning that local government agencies won't report undocumented immigrants to ICE unless they commit a violent crime.
Chicago is a sanctuary city, and Mayor Rahm Emanuel says that will not change.
Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti knows all about the delicate balance between federal and local forces. In 2014, it was estimated that L.A. and Orange counties combined made up about a million of the around 11 million undocumented immigrants in the United States. I sat down with the mayor to talk about the roles of ICE and local police and the future of Los Angeles.
Mayor Garcetti, thank you for joining us on Latino USA.
So proud to be with you. Longtime fan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. So I just want to tell you that recently I was in downtown Los Angeles, and actually there was a pro-immigrant rights rally going on, and I literally kind of stumbled upon it. And the first person that I saw, I said, look, I'm about to go interview Mayor Garcetti. What would you like me to say to him about things here in the city as an immigrant? And he turned to me and he said, without a beat, he said, tell them that we want ICE out of our city entirely. So what do you say to that?
Well, I think it speaks to what a divide has been created over time, and especially exacerbated just in the last couple months, between ICE and the people of this country who presumably they serve, that there is such a disconnect between understanding the importance of law enforcement and some saying, well, we don't want them at all. I respectfully disagree with that. There is a role to play. No country doesn't have something in which they make sure their borders are strong, or no city can have a place where we self-police. Unfortunately, there are folks that we need to sometimes arrest and put in jail. But when you embolden an organization to have no discretion anymore and to take their very limited resources and wind up arresting parents who are dropping their kids off at school, abuelas who are, you know, for only illegal entries, the only offense they've ever had, families being separated, business owners deciding not to start a new business and create jobs. These things have a huge effect, and it has been a waste of energy and a waste of time for us to take limited resources and suddenly pretend like we're going to catch fish with a small net thrown in the ocean, when we should be focusing on truly dangerous people, bringing them to justice to protect all of us, especially our immigrant communities. And we've lost that mission.
From the outside, those of us who don't live in L.A., you know, if just a cursory look at the headlines, it feels like L.A. and the state of California is basically prepared to take on Donald Trump.
I would reframe it. This isn't a struggle against one person. It's a struggle for our values. Think about the civil rights struggle. I had a friend who visited the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis right after the election in November and just felt despondent, thinking how long we'd come to obtain desegregated schools and to get rid of racist laws, and wondering whether the clock would be turned back. And he was looking at these pictures of the men and women who put their lives on the line, their bodies on the line to get arrested, their mugshots of civil rights activists and those who lost their lives. He said the civil rights struggle wasn't about Bull Connor's a racist and let's fight Bull Connor, or George Wallace is a bigot, let's fight George Wallace. But it was about, we deserve to be at the lunch counter. We deserve to be at school. And I think our focus can't just be obsessed about one person. We have to be less obsessed about the most powerful person in this country and fight for the most vulnerable. Because if it gets into a fight about fighting against one person and other people defending that one person, we've taken our eye off the ball. I stand up for the Constitution. I stand up for people. I stand up for human rights, not against any one person. California and Los Angeles are ready to be the power again of reminding us what our values are about and what progress looks like.
So probably some people who are listening to this are saying, why is Eric Garcetti so concerned about the status of immigrants in his city?
Well, it's very personal for me. I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for dreamers who came to this country, including mi abuelo, Salvador, who came here in my Mis abuelas arms during the Mexican Revolution, never was a citizen, didn't finish the eighth grade, but he only knew, like dreamers today, the United States as his country. So he volunteered in World War II, fought for this country, put his life at risk, didn't know if he'd come back to his family, and he earned his citizenship. Learned a trade, became a union member, was a barber, raised his son, got to go on scholarship to college. He raised me, and I'm here as the mayor of this town. I can't but not see the echoes of my own family history. My mom's Jewish. When I see refugees being turned away at our shores by executive order, that evokes to me the Jews that were turned away in the midst of the Holocaust. When I see Central American children coming over the border, I'm reminded of my grandfather. And the idea of separating them from their parents seems perverse and inhumane. And so these things are personal to me. Not only do I represent this beautiful, diverse city, I'm a reflection of that same diversity. And so it's a personal fight as well as a political one.
So it's interesting. You know, you're one of the few politicians who has taken on an issue that I actually became aware of right here in your city. And I was working on a Frontline documentary for PBS about detention camps. And we went out with ICE agents at 5 a.m. to East LA. There was a big operation. They were all dressed in black, but they were wearing baseball caps and windbreakers that had in big letters, police everywhere, and in much smaller letters, ICE. And you've begun talking about this in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, let me say something maybe a little controversial to some. I have a tremendous amount of respect for men and women who serve in ICE. They've got a job to do. They're real human beings. Many of them come from our community. Many of them are immigrants themselves. But when leadership or certain folks in any organization suddenly portray themselves or get mistaken for a different job or a different group of people, we've seen how dangerous that can be. Here in Los Angeles, we have spent 4 decades building trust between Los Angeles Police Department, which is 10,000 officers, and the communities that they serve. Let's say there's a rapist who preys on somebody who's undocumented. If that crime doesn't get reported, that rapist doesn't ask for someone's papers. They're going to prey on our city, period. And we have to make sure that police are trusted. So we've built that trust up so that when people who are immigrants now hear it's LAPD or the police, they think it's LAPD, their local police department, they trust them. They're willing to say, I saw a crime being committed. I need to report that I'm a survivor of domestic violence. But when ICE calls themselves police, people open that door expecting to see LAPD. It's bad for ICE and it's bad for LAPD. Because now, for instance, this year we saw a 20% drop in the first few months of Latino reports of domestic violence, a more than 10% drop in sexual assault. That means, and it didn't happen with any other ethnic group. And the police chief's theory is that people are scared, again, to report. And every single one of those criminals that gets away is going to prey on all of us. If something goes wrong, I fear a tinderbox out there, you know, where people will suddenly say no and try to defend, you know, keep that person from being taken. That's a very dangerous situation. That's dangerous for those officers. That's dangerous for those agents. And we're going to have to respond. And my own LAPD officers will get sucked up in that because they will have just heard the police and somebody's going to say, the police are coming after us. We just, commemorated 25 years since the urban unrest, and we know how quickly things can explode.
The thought that in your mind, as the mayor of LA, it has crossed your mind like, oh my God, the next tinderbox might not be black-white relations, but might end up being immigrant, police, ICE confrontations, and that could lead to an ugly, ugly chapter in LA's life?
I mean, imagine a parent is dropping off their child, as we've seen ICE officers, ICE agents take that parent away and it's videotaped. Imagine that's on the sidewalk and students start swarming and they're teenagers. And I mean, it's dangerous for those agents. It's dangerous for our city because when you have 400 agents in this area of 5 or 6 counties of Southern California who are facing a 2 million person estimated population that's undocumented, even if you increase your ICE agents by 50% like the president wants to do, you have 600 people trying to find 2 million people and somehow deport all of them, you can't logistically do it, and it makes us all less safe because you're not going after the truly dangerous people. From the president to the secretary of DHS and others, I want them to spend more time here and in communities where immigrants actually live to understand most families are blended, most neighborhoods are blended, most, you know, this isn't, they have a caricature of who these folks are. And it's just so different from the reality on the ground.
So what are the specific things that you, for example, as a mayor, can do in terms of upholding the rights of people who are here without proper documentation or permission?
There's a number of things. One is we opened up an Office of Immigrant Affairs before even, you know, the November elections. It was one of the first things I did. And we turned our libraries, our public libraries, for instance, into citizenship corners. So there's trained librarians who can help people fill out their paperwork, who helped enroll people in DACA. Two is we partner with a huge network here because Los Angeles is so diverse. This sometimes becomes, oh, it's a Latino issue. Here in L.A., we've got the biggest Korean community outside of Korea, the biggest Thai community outside of Thailand, the biggest Armenian population outside of Armenia. You can go through the list with 39 countries, and we don't want our African brothers and sisters or our Asian brothers and sisters to be lost in this discussion. So we have built a coalition to reach out and let people know not only they're not alone, there's resources for them. Third is executive actions. I've done executive directives that are kind of counter to the executive orders, reaffirming that our Los Angeles Police Department will not be immigration agents. And then finally, I think it's the moral leadership piece. You know, it was important for me to speak up and to speak out. As soon as the election happened, I went to schools, just sat down with students and said, no tengan miedo, don't be afraid. Our school district said, you know, these are going to be safe places and spaces. Our churches and synagogues and others created that. We let them know what the city policy was to be able to protect them. We can't give 100% assurance, and there are already people who have been swept up, but we know that happened under Democratic presidents too.
You have found yourself, though, at odds, obviously, with this administration, perhaps not specifically Donald Trump, and in particular over the conversation of sanctuary cities. And there's a lot of nuance around the issues of sanctuary cities that I think a lot of people may not understand. For example, some college campuses are deciding not to declare themselves sanctuary campuses because they don't want to have any records. They'd rather say, don't ask, don't tell, we don't know, that way nobody knows, and that's the way we're protecting our students better. Others are being very forthright and saying we must say that we are sanctuary campuses or cities. You're nuanced in that you say the term sanctuary cities legally doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so you've created a bit of a question about, well, is Los Angeles a sanctuary or not?
I think we should be spending our energy on the actions of standing up for and helping immigrants rather than parsing words. It's an important thing for us to continue to reiterate, as I think this administration now has admitted that there isn't really a set definition of what a sanctuary city is. And if it is that we have to abide by 1373 in the U.S. Code, every city I know already does that. So the way I defend it, to be very clear, is if sanctuary city means that your police force will not be deputized or will take it upon themselves to enforce immigration law, then absolutely we are, and proudly so. But we have to remember 50% of this country hears the term, and the caricature is, oh, these are places that invite dangerous criminals, give them bonus points if you're undocumented, and say, please, live amongst us and we will protect you. Well, that's absolutely absurd.
How far are you prepared to go on any of these issues?
I'm prepared. Well, look, the Constitution and the law's on our side. I'm not worried. I'm just
astounded. So when you hear Donald
astounded.
Trump say things like, I'll see you in court, you say,
we did that before and we won. And you actually backed down last time when it was the, you know, the Muslim ban and the executive order on refugees. And to reiterate it, we're not doing these things because we're a bunch of lefties. We're proud of our politics of being progressive out here. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. I'm too pro-police to stop listening to my police chief's advice and the advice of all, you know, the police chiefs I've talked to around the nation. I'm too pro-family to stop, you know, to somehow allow families to be separated. And I'm too pro-economy, I guess, to not have immigrants, as they are in this city, be 61% of our Main Street business owners and entrepreneurs. I want what's best for my city and my country, and I'm very practical about those things. It's they that have politicized things, not us.
You know, people want to characterize California or LA as just like a bunch of progressives, hippies, you know, oh, that's just them. But what is the bigger message that you want people to really be taking away by 3 to 4 years of some very challenging moments around specific policy impacting people who live in your city?
My main message is don't cede the power you have before you exercise it. There's too many people paralyzed, only playing defense and focusing on one person in this country. When the power has always existed in this country, where we live, on our block, on our street, in our neighborhood, in our city, it's a nation that was built up from the periphery inward, not vice versa. And I think ultimately, you know, we'll come back home to the values that have defined us. I'm not worried about our progress. I'm worried these few years could set us back, but I'm not worried about over my lifetime what the progress will be. We will fix the system. We will be pro-immigrant. We will continue to defend the rights of our gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered brothers and sisters. We will make sure that we continue with the police improvements and reforms that we need. I just see the writing on the wall with a new generation ready to act. The question is, will the rest of us step up today too?
Mayor Garcetti, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Mil gracias.
Eric Garcetti is mayor of the city of Los Angeles.